Please be seated as Miles gives our reading, and then I will come and preach the word to you today.
So the Bible reading is taken from Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. When she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, and that she's a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Miles. Jesus welcomes a sinful woman. What a beautiful story. Those who have been forgiven much love much. It's true, isn't it? The story tells us that Jesus had been invited to the Pharisee's house to dine with him, and he had accepted the offer. He's arrived and he's reclining at the table. Hospitality was a large affair with Jewish culture, with lots of cultures at that time, particularly if you had a special guest. Jewish homes would always have their doors open, not like us with our doors closed. They'd have them open and you'd have your invited guests sat round the table, and then people from the neighbourhood could just waltz in and listen into the conversations and then go back out again if they wanted to. That was the picture that we have. Jesus has arrived. He's reclining on his left arm, because apparently they always reclined on their left arm. The table's in the middle. And if the weather was good, they'd be out in the courtyard. So they'd have some trees around them. Lovely fresh air. It's nothing like it, is there? Al fresco outside. Leaning on your left arm. Eating a few grapes, whatever goodies they had on the table. Having a drink. Chatting away with friends. That was the scene at the Pharisee's house when the woman enters the story. She is described as one who lived a sinful life in that town. So she was a known figure by her lifestyle. Someone who decent folk would have nothing to do with. That was their way. They weren't meant to mix. She was a sinner with a capital S. The story then goes on to tell us that she learned where Jesus was. So that gives us the impression that she was looking for Jesus. She was seeking him out. She has one goal in mind, to bring with her a large alabaster jar full of perfume with which she wants to anoint Jesus with. This is her aim, nothing more, nothing less. And it's easy for her to enter the house because the doors are open, but it's not easy because she doesn't mix with, Jewish people that are upright, religious, Pharisees, they don't mix. But she's not going to be deterred. She's got this aim in her mind, and off she goes to see Jesus. Can you imagine the scene as she comes in and people, what's she doing here? Why is she here? As she comes nearer to Jesus, and then she's at his feet, and suddenly she is totally and utterly overwhelmed by his presence. Totally overwhelmed by his love for her. I wonder if you've ever had that experience. We were saying earlier, weren't we? Where you felt totally and utterly overwhelmed that God loved you. And you didn't feel like you deserved it, but you just felt so loved by him. Maybe it's when you first became a Christian, or maybe you get those times sometimes when you come into God's presence, maybe in church or on your own. Maybe you're listening to a worship song. Maybe it's something else. You're just out having a walk and suddenly you're overwhelmed. Well, that's how it was for this woman. She can't hold back the tears and she starts to weep. Now, these aren't a few tears rolling down her face and a few sniffles. This is full-blown weeping. It's noisy. It's messy. It's totally uncontrolled. She is so thankful and grateful for what Jesus has done for her. Remember, she has come with an alabaster jar because she wants to anoint his feet. So that tells us she has already met Jesus before. We don't know how she met him. We don't know whether she just was a member of the crowd that were listening to him. He was at the start of his ministry. Luke writes about it. At the beginning of his ministry, the disciples have been called. They've been going from city to city, healing people. Raising the dead. There was a boy that was raised from the dead. Jesus came across a funeral procession and he brought him back to life. They've had all sorts of miracles going on. So Jesus's popularity and word had spread. Maybe she was one of the crowd. But I think it must have been a one-to-one because of the way she responds. I think it might have been one-to-one. We don't know for definite. All we know that she has had an encounter with Jesus and it is totally transforming her and affecting her. I'm sure when she was a little girl, she didn't dream that she would end up this way in life. I'm sure she was like any other little girl, dreaming that she'd grow up and get married and have children of her own. And maybe she'd work in the family business. Maybe there was a family business and she'd be part of that. Or maybe she'd have her own business because women did have their own businesses in that time. She might have had lots of different dreams, but I bet it wasn't to end up in this situation. Something we know has gone terribly wrong for this woman. And it doesn't always happen straight away. It happens over time. Little pieces going wrong. So here she is weeping, her tears pouring out over Jesus' feet. She lets down her hair, which was not a done thing. Women always had to keep their hair covered. But protocols got out the window. She tips down her hair to dry his feet. She can't stop kissing his feet. Then she breaks the alabaster jar because they're sealed. She breaks it and pours it all over his feet in front of all these people who are just looking at her, maybe with distaste, not understanding why she's there. The alabaster jar, you know, really represents her heart, and the perfume is her grateful thanks. I wonder how you came into God's presence this morning. Did you come with your alabaster jar, your heart full of grateful thanks to God for all he's done for you? I don't say that as a criticism for those that haven't. Or is your heart full of distractions or busyness? You know, you've had such a busy time. Maybe you're anxious or you're worried about something. Or maybe you're just still discovering faith and you're on that journey. So your jar, your heart is full of questions and wonderings. I wonder how you came into God's presence this morning. Well, Jesus welcomes her. The alabaster jar has been poured out. Can you imagine it? And this beautiful fragrance, this sweet, sweet to smell, beautiful fragrance, is totally filling the atmosphere. And Jesus loves it. He welcomes it. He doesn't take any, he doesn't have any problem about anybody else around that doesn't understand. He loves it. He allows her to have space to worship him, to show her love, her gratitude. He's showing her that she is welcome in his kingdom. Jesus shows everyone else in that room that this woman is acceptable in his presence. What a fantastic picture of a life totally overwhelmed by a loving God who prefers mercy to judgment, who prefers to save rather than have debts owed. But unfortunately, this isn't the only picture that's going on in this story. What a contrast we have with Simon the Pharisee. His hidden, private, secret thoughts being said in his mind. Thinks no one can know them, but Jesus does. He knows his judgmental and critical attitude. What does he say? If this man were a prophet, if this man were a prophet, he would know who's touching him and what kind of woman she is. She's a sinner. Have you ever found yourself in that position? A bit judgmental, a bit critical, maybe not so tolerant? It's easy for us to think, Simon, who do you think you are? But we've all been there, haven't we? We've all had those thoughts in our heads and our minds. Maybe it's when we come into church, the service isn't quite how we're used to it. Oh, if they call themselves a Christian, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do this. We're all the same, aren't we? We all have that defect in us. But I love the way Jesus deals with Simon. He doesn't out and out say, look, I just heard what you said. Makes him feel. He just tells him a story, doesn't he? He says, I want to tell you something, Simon. And he says, all right then. And then he tells him that lovely story. Do you know, Simon, there are these two people. One's got this massive debt of money and this other one's got this small debt. Significant, but it's small. And they can't pay it back, and yet the money lender just cancels it. And you go, okay. I love the way he takes him down that road of truth and he can't get out of it. And then the question comes, so who do you think Simon owes him? Who do you think who owed him the money will love him the most, who's been, you know, the debt's been cancelled? Who's going to love him the most? And you can imagine Simon squealing inside, thinking in front of everybody he has to answer. And he reluctantly says, doesn't he? I suppose. Have you ever found yourself saying that? I suppose. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. And I love the way Jesus goes. It's almost like Jesus going, yes, you got the right answer. Yes, well done, Simon. And he almost like congratulating him. You have judged rightly. It's like, all right, don't rub it in. And then he takes it a step further. He turns to the woman and he says to Simon, do you see this woman? Well, of course he sees the woman. But he isn't saying that, is he? He says, do you really see this woman, Simon? like I see, like God sees, like we see this woman. Oh, Simon, how blind you are, how short-sighted you are. All out there crossing the I's, dotting the T's. Was it dotting the I's, crossing the T's? I'm always known for getting it the wrong way round. You haven't seen what's really going on, Simon. You're so full of your own piety and you've missed the point. You're like an unsharpened pencil. And then Jesus really goes for it, doesn't he? He really challenges his thoughts and he says, you know, I came into your house and you didn't even give me any water for my feet, and yet she hasn't stopped wetting my feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. And you didn't even give me a kiss, and she hasn't stopped kissing my feet. You didn't even put oil on my head, and she has poured out this perfume all over my feet. You can imagine everybody in the room that had come in later after Jesus had arrived would be stunned this hasn't happened, because it would have been normal practice for a special guest to receive those niceties. You know, that was customary courtesy. That was showing honor. That was showing respect. So it's not a very good thing, is it, that Simon has done none of that. So it shows us what he thinks of Jesus. He doesn't trust him. He's not convinced he's the prophet that they were expecting. And then Jesus says to him, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. Jesus vindicates this woman in front of everybody. He raises her back up to be back in society by doing this. Everybody's astounded that he said, your sins are forgiven, he says to her. They think, well, only God can forgive sins. Some would be thinking, yes, this is God. And others would be thinking, how can he say that? And I love the last bit he says to the woman. He says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How lovely is that? Jesus has welcomed her, has received her love, and he says, you know, your sins are gone. Don't hold on to it. It's gone. It's all gone. The multitude of sins, they're gone. Your faith has saved. You've believed. Now go in peace. You can have that peace in your heart because you've got peace with God. You've got peace with yourself, and you can have peace with these other people now because it's all dealt with. What an amazing story of Jesus. Jesus is welcome to those who need rescuing, and Jesus' sharp rebuke to those who withhold that welcome. We're pouring out our hearts to God this morning, so I wonder how your heart will be when you leave. I hope that through this service you will receive back and you will go in peace, that your alabaster jar, your heart will be full of God's love, full of God's forgiveness, full of his peace in your heart, just as this woman has gone. So let's come before our wonderful, generous, welcoming God and let him fill us again so we too can have hearts full of grateful thanks. Amen. 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 Wow.